We're honored this morning to have Pastor Ben Ice, who will be speaking to us today. Ben is a graduate of Maranatha Baptist Bible College for his undergrad, and he came here to Bob Jones University to get his grad degree. In 2004, he began to serve as the children's pastor at the Calvary Baptist Church here in Simpsonville, South Carolina. He is now the family life pastor who works with counseling, discipleship, and youth. Ben developed and he oversees a ministry called Truth Trackers. It is a children's discipleship program used in local churches, 350 to be exact, around the United States of America. He and his wife, Danae, live here, and they have five children. And I really wanted Ben to come because of his work with young people, with children. When I first started to learn how to preach, I didn't start with adults or teenagers. I started with children. And I learned that if you can communicate the gospel effectively to fifth graders, you can communicate the gospel effectively to anyone. One of my hopes is that your heart will be stirred to reach children. How many of you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior before the age of 12 years old? All right, that's the vast percentage of you. And so therefore, our ministry to children is vital if we're going to reach people with the gospel. Ben, you come.
It's an honor and a privilege to be able to speak to you today. And I want to thank Dr. Pettit for the opportunity to be able to bring the Word of God to you this morning. And my understanding is this week you're hearing different topics on evangelism, and I have been assigned to speak to you about evangelism as it relates to reaching children with the gospel of Christ. And this is not really an expository message. This is more of an inspirational message. And my goal is to inspire you to see the eternal value of reaching children with the gospel of Christ. And we're going to do that by asking two questions. And the first question we're going to ask is, why should you value reaching children with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why should you value reaching children with the gospel of Jesus Christ? So if you have a pen and a paper, go ahead and write some of these down. First of all, our first answer is because God values the souls of all people, and that includes children. In three different gospel accounts, it is recorded that Jesus said something like this: suffer or allow the little children to come to me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. In those passages, Jesus was using children as an illustration of how a person comes in faith to Christ. But also, Jesus was identifying the worth of a child's soul. Here the disciples were dismissive of children. The disciples rebuked these parents for bringing their children to Jesus. And in their view, the real ministry of Jesus was to the adults, not to the kids. And unfortunately, this same attitude of the disciples is pervasive in our churches. Many people view ministry to children as a way to get the kids out of the adult service and to babysit them. Many people view children's ministry as just childcare. Instead of viewing them as souls and as a way for you to spiritually invest in souls for eternity. And I think probably one of the clearest ways we see that today in our churches is the lack of volunteers in our children's ministry. And there's a deficiency of volunteers serving our families and our children in our churches. I have friends that are pastors, and they'll call me, we'll talk on the phone. And if they have a smaller church, many times the conversation goes like this: we have a volunteer problem in our church. We have a small church, so we don't have a lot of volunteers, you know. Then I'll have other friends who are pastors, and they'll call and they'll say, yeah, we have a volunteer problem in our church. We have too many kids in our church, and so we don't have enough volunteers to cover the children's ministry. And I tell them, welcome to the club. Because our church at Calvary Baptist in Simpsonville, we have the same problem. In our church, G.W. Bowers is our children's director. Are you in here, G.W.? You can wave your hand if you are. But he does a great job in ministering to the children and overseeing that ministry. But he can tell you the difficulty he faces in not just getting volunteers, but getting men and women who are faithful and who are committed and passionate to reach the next generation. And I hear of a lot of excuses of why people can't work with children or they don't want to work with children. And most of the time, I actually believe the reason is because most people don't value children enough. They don't value children enough to sacrifice their time and to weekly invest in the lives of children. But God does. God values children. God values all souls. Jesus commissioned us in Matthew chapter 28 to go and make disciples of all nations. And therefore, we are to intentionally and passionately take the gospel to every people group. Do you believe that? Amen? That was weak. Amen? Amen. There we go. And do you realize that if we were to make children their own demographic group, that children would be the largest demographic group in the world? I mean, think about it. There are over 7 billion people in the world. 2 billion of those are children 14 years of age and younger. In fact, in the world's 48 least developed countries, children make up the majority of the population. And therefore, any missionary going to reach a country like that for Christ, any missionary who wants to have a long-term effect in that country, will and should invest in children in that country. So why should you value reaching children for Christ? Because God values all souls, and that includes children. And also because God is bountifully harvesting the souls of children. The greatest harvest of souls in our society in America today is taking place when a child is an adolescent. Many different researchers show that between 70 and 80% of born-again adults in America testify that they made a decision to follow Jesus Christ by faith between the ages of 4 and 14. And some people call this the 4 to 14 window, right? You've heard of the 1040 window? Well, this is the 4 to 14 window. And it's that window of time when a person's heart is most open to the gospel. And in fact, let me just do what Dr. Steve Pettit did. If you were saved under the age of either 14 or under, put your hand up in the air. And look around the room. The Lord is abundantly working to save children. And to illustrate this, I could tell you a story of how my mother came to Christ when she was 8 years old. And how when she was walking back from school, she went to a person's home and went to a Good News Club in that home and heard the gospel and was saved. I could tell you the story of my father, who by God's grace received Christ when he was 11 years old. He had no gospel influence in his life. He was a farm boy in Indiana. The Lord led him to a youth rally. He heard the gospel and the Lord gave him spiritual life. I could tell you how a girl that was 9 years old attended a local Lutheran church with her parents. And one day a friend of hers from school invited her to come to a children's program at a local Baptist church. This girl named Dana began attending the children's program. And in that program, she heard the gospel. And in childlike faith, she trusted in Jesus Christ. She grew up in that church, went to Bible college. I met her and we got married. And I am married now to a godly Christian girl. We have 5 adorable children, I'm kind of biased, because God brought Dana to a place that preached the gospel to children. Because God helped her understand her need for Christ and God saved her soul. And I am who I am today because God saved my mom, my father, and my wife at a young age. And I would guess many of you in here can testify to that as well. So why should you invest in children? Lastly, because God sees the eternal potential in each child. Psalm 127:4 says this, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." And this verse right here teaches us that God wants us to see that each child has potential. And just like the archer pulls back on the bow and aims the arrow, We have the opportunity to influence the beliefs of a child and aim his or her life toward faith in Christ for the glory of God. And this verse teaches us that the direction of one's life is most influenced in childhood. And therefore, if you want to influence a person's life in the greatest way possible, then start at the earliest age possible. You see, every child has individuals who are pulling back on the string of his or her mind and directing the arrow of their life toward a target. You see, there's no such thing as an unreached child. Every child has individuals who are influencing their thinking and their beliefs. And therefore, the question is not if a child is being reached, but with what is he or she being reached. Last summer, I spoke at a camp, and a counselor told me that when I started speaking in the first session, I got my Bible out and started speaking about the Lord. And this young elementary age girl turned to her counselor and she said, "I'm an atheist and I don't believe in God like this guy. Do you?" Now, let me ask a question. Where does an elementary age girl come up with an idea like that? Someone had begun to pull back the bow of that young girl's mind and aim her life in a godless direction. Well, we started opening the Bible and night after night went through seven big questions. And we answered them from the Word of God. What is life? Why is there evil? Who is God? Who is Jesus? What is the Bible? What is a Christian? And how shall we then live? And we looked in God's Word and we saw what the answer to those questions were. This young girl had been reached by atheism. But last night before she went home, she came up and brought me to her mom. And she said in front of her mom, Mom, this week I decided to believe in Jesus. And she showed her mom the Truth Trackers devotional book I had given her. And she said, "Mr. Ben wrote this devotional book and gave it to me to learn more about God." And the camp gave her a Bible. And she says, "And here's a Bible the camp gave to me." And I could tell you similar stories of children who live right here in the upstate. I could tell you stories of children who I've talked to just in the last 2 months who are struggling with questions like, "Does God exist? Should I believe what I'm being taught about evolution? How do we know the Bible is true? What is my sexual identity? What is wrong with sexual experimentation?" And we're talking about 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old children. And someone is reaching those children with a destructive worldview. But I can also tell you stories of God's grace and how the Lord has given some of those children a new mind, a repentant heart, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us not be complacent when we consider children in our world today. May we realize the potential eternal impact we can have on each life, even the life of a child. The second question I want to consider is, how can you practically reach children with the gospel? The first answer to that is we can reach them by volunteering in your local church. Can I hear amen to that? Okay, maybe afterwards we'll do that. But most of you will be going home from here or going somewhere away from here. And there should be a local church that you're going to faithfully attend. Let me encourage you that this week to email your pastor or that pastor and tell him that you want to volunteer the entire summer to teach children. And even more than that, you're willing to oversee any children's work that needs to be overseen. In fact, even beyond that, you're willing to sacrifice all the fun weekends that you want to have this summer just so you can be there every Sunday to oversee the children's ministry. Doesn't that sound like fun? Well, it is. Believe me. Let me admonish you to volunteer to serve in the children's ministry in the church. And also, how can you practically reach children with the gospel? Secondly, reach them with a God-centered approach to children's ministry. Many times children's ministry is seen as the hour to entertain. You know, we teach them to obey by teaching them cute Bible stories. Or we help them to be good moral people via Christian silly songs, right? And if you work with children, maybe this summer or in the future, let me encourage you to do away with that kind of moralistic philosophy with children's ministry, right? I mean, just give you an example, okay? How many of you growing up got the good seat? Raise your hand, okay? Okay, most of them that are raising their hands are girls, okay? A couple out there. You weren't good enough, you came to Bob Jones. Oh, well, okay. It wasn't obviously a lot, but you ever heard of the good seat? What's the good seat? The good seat, I'm kind of saying this tongue-in-cheek a little bit, but the good seat is a bribe presented to the most compliant sinners in the room. It's a reward given to children whose lust for candy bars is greater than their lust to act out in class. And we call that the good seat. And I'm not against incentives, but I am against teaching children that goodness is the good seat. That's not goodness. And let me encourage you to approach children's ministry in a God-centered way, which first of all means that it's God-dependent, which means you actually enter into the children's ministry and you pray for those children and you pray for God's grace in your life. And of course, if you work with children for any amount of time, you know you need that, right? Spirit dependent. And then also an approach that highlights God as the main character of every Bible lesson and teaches with the aim that God is to be glorified and displays the awesome glory of God. Which means as you're teaching through the Bible and teaching through stories in the Bible, the accounts of Scripture, that God is always the hero. Right? Moses is not the hero of the Exodus. God is. And David is not the deliverer of Israel. God is. And it means we teach each lesson in such a way that children are able to sit in awe of the glory of God and see His magnificence and respond as Psalm 78:7 says, that they may set their hope in God. And God-centered children's ministry uses the Bible. It's a novel idea in ministry, isn't it? But if you work in children's ministry, would you please use the Bible? I mean, study the passage before you come in to teach the class. And not 10 minutes before. I'm talking about during the week, right? And actually take time to understand how God reveals Himself in the text. And also a children's ministry that's God-centered, it should be engaging, right? We should be enjoying God. Children's ministry should be exciting because we're talking about the Lord. On Mondays, I go to a public school and I preach to 100 children. And it's so much fun. And one of the greatest joys of it is many of these children, most of these children, have never heard these stories before. So you're going through a Bible story, an historical account found in the Scriptures, and you're teaching through it. They don't know the end of it. And one of the greatest joys is to kind of go to the climax there and tell how God worked. And this past year, at one point when we did that, one of the boys, he yelled out, he goes, "Wow!" And that can only be done when you present the Bible in an accurate yet engaging way. And fifth, your ministry to children should be practical. In other words, you should explain the truth in such a way that those children can understand the truth and know how to personally place their faith in the Lord in their present context. So it should be practical for them. They should understand how they can trust in the Lord. Let me say one last application. How can you practically reach children with the gospel? Reach them via the family. The greatest influence in the life of a child will be the child's parents. And therefore, let me encourage you to see children's ministry as really what it should be, and that is family ministry. In the past 4 weeks, I visited 3 families that have visited our church. And when I asked them, what led you to our church? All 3 of them had a common answer. You know what it was? It was something like, I wanted our children to receive religious instruction. And you see, we as a church, we want to reach those children. But even beyond that, we need to realize the most effective disciplers will be the parents who are called by God to be their disciples. God instructs parents in Ephesians chapter 6 to disciple their children. And therefore, we need to disciple parents to disciple children. And so as you work with children, look at the child, but also beyond the child, and ask, how can I partner with parents to help them fulfill their God-given role as the discipler of their children? Let me say one last thing here. What else does reaching them via the family mean for you? Your greatest legacy of discipleship will potentially be the children that God gives you. My father was a pastor for many years and a Christian school administrator. I had four brothers and sisters. I remember coming down in the mornings and seeing him sitting there on the couch almost every morning. He was had his Bible open. He was praying. And years later, he told us, and we all grew up and we were talking once, he said, I would pray for you almost every day this, Lord, use my children in a greater way than you could ever use me. And my father is really one of the greatest personal evangelists I've ever met. And he's influenced hundreds of people's lives for eternity. But he realized the greatest impact for discipleship that he could have would be through his children. And therefore, he spiritually invested in us and he prayed for us. And I just want to say this to the glory of God, that all five of us are spread around the country and one around the world, and we're serving the Lord in churches, in local churches. And the Lord answered his prayer. In our society disdains marriage and raising children for the glory of God. But let me beseech you to value marriage and to view having children as a way to disciple people, disciple children. And at your stage of life, let me plead with you, okay? If you're not already, be praying that God would lead someone in your life that can partner with you to serve the Lord, but also pray that God would prepare you to be the parent that God wants you to be so that you can disciple the children that God gives you if He blesses you with that. When I was in college, a professor challenged me, said, Ben, prepare your heart now. Even before you're dating, prepare your heart now to be the husband that you should be and the father that God wants you to be. And because of that, really, when I was in college and when I was in seminary, that was when I started putting together the program that Dr. Pettit told you about, which is Truth Trekkers. And really, my heart's desire behind that was I wanted to pass on to my children what I was learning, what God was teaching me. And I believe your greatest legacy of discipleship, even though maybe you don't see it right now, but it will potentially be the children that God gives you. Why should you value reaching children? I believe the scriptures teach us that God values the souls of children. He is working in the hearts of children and he sees the potential of children. The harvest of souls is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Father, may we value the souls of children. May we see the eternal potential that each child has. And may we dedicate our lives, no matter what we do or where we go, to evangelize and disciple children for your glory. May we do it serving you by your grace for your glory. Amen.